Okay, let's see. Today's June the 20th, 1991. And we're in Owensboro, Kentucky with Wendell Allen.
Okay. I'm going to start out just asking you things about yourself.
What's your full name?
Wendell C. Just an initial.
All right. C. Really, no middle name?
No middle name. Just Wendell C. Allen.
What's your address?
Post Office Box 402 at Rosine, Kentucky, 42370.
And what's your religious preference?
The Methodist, Rosine United Methodist Church.
Single?
Yes.
Date of birth?
1-17-37.
What's your occupation?
I am a surgical technologist.
And what's your ethnic background, Wendell?
Well, the area where I grew up.
Are you Scotch, Irish, English?
English. And my family on my grandmother Allen's side, of course, came from Virginia, and I've been able to trace back our ancestors on that side to 1735.
When did they come into Rosine?
Into Ojai County. I'm not sure on the date of when they first came into Ojai County, but I don't know, I was going to have to think about this.
Well, it's been a while.
It's been a long time.
You haven't just come in the last 50 years,
no,
have you?
Oh, no.
I mean, I thought you were one of the, families that have been there a while.
They lived about 3 miles south of Rosine at a community called Mount Pleasant.
Oh, I know where that is.
And in the country there. And my grandmother, Allen, and her family came to Rosine about 45 years ago.
From Mount Pleasant. And why did they move into Rosine?
Moved to the city, I guess.
Retired.
No, farming.
Did your dad's people farm at Mount Pleasant?
Yes.
Did your dad farm too?
Yes. And then about the beginning of World War II, you know, when the defense plants and things like that opened, he worked in shipyards in Evansville. And later on, we lived in Louisville. In fact, I can recall, we lived next door to an air raid warden in Louisville, and he used to have to practice air raids. All the lights out in the city. I remember my brother Ronnie falling and cutting his head and had to kind of sneak him down the back alley to the doctor's office to get some stitches taken. This was during an air raid.
Now, how long were you all in Louisville?
Oh, I'm not sure because I was very, young. 2 or 3 years, I guess.
Then you came back to Rosine?
We came back into Mount Pleasant. Moved back. We had a farm home there, and came to Rosine. I think it was in January the 29th, I think, 1950.
When you all were gone, did your parents miss Rosine a lot?
Well, yes, you'd miss, it was being in a large city and, coming from the country. My mother worked in Louisville, and so I did my father. And, I really don't know what brought them back to the country. My mother says, your daddy wanted to come back, so,
That's what I want
to
know. He wanted to come back.
He wanted to come back.
Why did he want to come back? That's what I'm trying to find out.
I suppose just family. Come back to the family, And so there we were on the farm and stayed there until my mother came to Owensboro and started to work here in Owensboro and had a job or two, I don't know, before she came to work at GE. And she worked for General Electric for 30 years. She retired.
Drove back and forth.
Right, sure did. They used to carpool. Of course, they had buses back then. The buses ran, you know, from, I believe, from Morgantown to Owensboro, and hauled a busload of women. But of course, then when I came along, started working in Owensboro and started driving, then I drove for 20 years with five women every day. They depended on me to bring them to Owensboro to work. Hmm. So,
well, let's let me ask you these things before I forget it. What was your mother's maiden name?
Leach.
Leach. And how many children did your mom and dad have?
Four.
Are they all living?
Yes.
And what are their names?
Connie, Jean, Ronnie, Newell, N-U-E-L, and David, Joel.
Okay, now we know your mom and dad left and came back. Now what have you done in your life? How many times did you leave and have come back to Rome?
I lived here in Owensboro just briefly, I would have to say, in terms of months, while I've been working at the hospital. I went to school at Brescia College, and I used to have an apartment right down by Brescia College. It's long since gone because some of the administration buildings have taken that. And I worked at the worked and stayed at Roseanne and then commuted back and forth with all this carload of women until they all began to retire. And I got down to one. I said, you know, we need to find another ride, so I don't. If I want to stay over, I'm going to do something else. You know, I don't have to have this. But August the 16th of 1985, I left for New Orleans. And I'm sure a lot of people thought I was crazy. You know, but what the heck, I don't know, maybe I begin to think about, being tied down to work somewhere and looking for a plaque or a gold watch. You know, what does that mean? You know, we're just passing through this world one time, and so most people think you're crazy. Right? I didn't think I was crazy. And so I stayed a year, and Dr. Gerald Eads, whom I had worked with since he came to Owensboro to do ear, nose, and throat. So he told me about coming back and working for him, and I did. I came back and worked for him in his office and operated with him at Mercy in Davis County. Stayed for a period of time, and then we kind of parted ways. No, nothing were problems, but the people down in New Orleans want me to come back. So I loaded up my car and struck out again for New Orleans. Stayed down there until latter part of 88, last of 88, and Ohio County Hospital was talking about doing an outpatient clinic, and the money offered to me was good. You're 15 minutes from home. And I guess they caught me at a time that I wanted to come home and see everybody. I was on a low limb, probably. And I gave a notice. In fact, I gave the folks in New Orleans 5-week notice, a long time, so I could train somebody. And I came home and I painted and clipped and cut and pruned and did everything I could do at home for 2 months waiting for them. And money runs short, you gotta go to work. So I called up Davis County and see, they were going on to a computer program then, they're going in, they hadn't before, and so, so I came to work in their central scheduling office, who did all their scheduling for surgeries for Mercy and Davis County. It all comes through the central office. So it was there. And also, since I'm a technician, I did assist a lot of doctors and a lot of procedures, and I'd worked with some. So that's why I'm back.
Well, when you were in New Orleans, what kind of work did you do there?
I worked for the Roche Biomedical Laboratory.
So you've always been in some sort
of
medicine.
Right, right. Now, in 1964, Ohio County Hospital started their surgical program. They had not done surgery prior to that. And I'm not an RN, but they hired me to open up their OR, and I was a supervisor. And I stayed for several months over there, but I decided I didn't want no part of that. You got to the point you couldn't go anywhere. At home, someone was calling you all the time, or we can't find this, or we need this, or, you know.
Too much?
So it's too much. So I decided then, so I came back to Davis County, stayed 21 years.
Well, let me ask you this. As a Kentuckian who was raised in a rural community, when you got to New Orleans, did you feel a cultural shock? Were you intrigued? Did you feel out of place? Did you fit in?
No, not that I didn't fit in, but I not a cultural shock. It is a different place. It's just the customs and, of course, are quite different, and you have a variety of people who live there. And but I have traveled extensively, so being in large cities, and that was not something new for me.
There's a big difference in visiting a city, though, and living
right,
in one.
Right, true. There were things that you had to get accustomed to. Of course, I can recall being stuck on that interstate in the afternoon coming out of New Orleans, and I thought, God, there's more cars here on this one stretch of road than it's been through Rosine since the highway came.
Well, when you were getting lonely for Rosine, I think that's how you said it. What do you mean by that?
Oh, I think you just wanted to see family just to know that they were okay. And once you do that, and you know everybody's all right, you're ready to go back. You're ready to... That's probably why I was caught at a low moment and I came home. Otherwise, I'd probably still be down there. I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I do. Of course, you miss family.
Well, you're very involved in your community, too. You do a lot of worthwhile things there.
Well, I've kind of laid back, and I've intentionally laid back of recent.
When I watched
you get tired.
Well, I can understand that. Especially there seems to be so much, so much opposition in that community. That's the way I would put it.
Well, there hasn't really been until recent times.
But I was real impressed watching you handle everything at the ceremony the other day.
Well, you know, Rosine kind of lay dormant, seems, for a long period of time there.
Pardon me. Okay, now then, did you go, since you were living at Mount Pleasant, when you were at Mount Pleasant, were you in school?
Yes.
Then? Now, where were you in school?
Mount Pleasant Elementary, grades 1-8. The first four grades sit at the furthest end of the building as you went in. The Mount Pleasant School is still standing, incidentally.
I think you took me there.
Oh, it is still standing, definitely.
Yes.
There was a big pot-bellied stove that kind of separated the four upper grades and the four lower grades.
That's what separated it.
Right, and a long bench that would take care of all the kids when the class was called. They could all be seated on that one long bench up by the teacher. Mm-hmm. They learned a lot because, see, you could hear either kids could hear what was being discussed from all the classes.
I hadn't thought of it that
way.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
So you were there those whole 8 years?
I was there.
8 years?
No, I moved to Rosine. And I can well remember the day, the 29th of January, there was a snow that was nearly knee-deep, and it had a crust of ice on top of it. And we walked from our home to my grandmother's, which is just outside of Rosine. My father carried my baby brother, David, who is now a sergeant major.
He was at the cemetery, yes. Wasn't he?
Yes, and carried him on his shoulders. David wears a 13 shoe. All the way to my grandmother's, and I can remember that snow just crunching. And I remember going to school that morning to tell them that we were moving and we wouldn't be back. Now today, there wouldn't be any school, right? They call schools off.
That's very true.
I walked about 2 miles to tell them we wouldn't be back. So came to Rosine and got everything moved in April of that year. But, and again, and now at Rosine School, which is still standing, but it is a residence now. Rosine was one of, it's a unique place to begin with. The school at Rosine remained all those years after consolidation as a two-room school, simply because first through the eighth grade, they had separate rooms, four grades in one room, one side, and it was closed off by these folding doors. They were open when there was a function that involved the entire school, but the school had a lunchroom.
Oh.
Yes. And a cook.
And a cook.
Two teachers. And full graduation exercises from the eighth grade. I mean caps, gowns, everything. This was done at church. That's where the exercises were held.
At the church.
Baptist church, right.
It's fairly close, isn't
yes.
it, as I recall.
Yes.
Did most of those students then stop school at the eighth grade, or did?
No, one of the school went on to high school at Horse Branch.
Most of them did come
right.
on.
Right, yes, yeah. In fact, I think everyone that was in my eighth grade graduating class went on to Horse Branch, went to high school.
Did you ride a bus there?
Yes. From Rosine, yeah, to Horse Branch. Except sometime we'd all have a wild idea. We wanted to walk. We wanted to walk the railroad.
Mm. Why did you want to walk the railroad?
Well, the tunnel was there. Mm. See, the tunnel was still. The Illinois Central Railroad had a tunnel, and that was that was daring to walk through the tunnel and go to Horse Branch. Good school. So we do that occasionally.
Is that where the
bridge
is
cut.
Now,
that,
and you
that
look
is
down?
That's the Grand Canyon of Ojai County.
It
right.
certainly is.
Long way down there.
Did you
the
ever?
The tunnel had a curve in it. You couldn't see through it. You know, it was dark after you could so far back in there.
And that was the excitement?
Yeah, to go through the tunnel, yeah. The school, I'd have a Christmas parade in Rosine. The school put out an annual. I have an annual.
That would be interesting. Would you share that with
put
me
out,
sometime?
The school put an annual out. Sure did. And also had the Christmas parade. In 73, when we had our centennial, the full Ojai County Marching Band came to Rosine to perform the first time outside of Beaver Dam, you know, to a small community.
Mm-hmm.
They marched from out by the cemetery down around the block. And when they got down by the corner across from where I live now in front of the little depot, there was a part of the band members. They brought out these striped railroad caps and they did the Wabash Cannonball in front of the depot on that corner.
Well, in those days, then, Rosine was pretty prosperous, and was there a
well,
lot going on
well, this is 70.
There?
When I moved to Rosine, our family and I moved to Rosine, we had 12 stores.
12?
12 stores. And a mill. Flour.
What kind of stores were there?
They were just general stores.
Like grocery
and
that we had?
Right. In front of me, where we live, there was 3 stores straight across from us. I don't know, Ms. Ferguson, who was a principal at Longfellow.
Yes, I
do you know her?
Yes.
Well, her mother and father ran a store over there. Of course, that's where they're from. Andrew Alford Alford's store, and then there was Mr. Deaver's store, and then there was Embry's, Mr. L.L. Embry, and ran the store there. Then a half a block up there on the corner close to the park was Mr. Gary's store. On the highway was Mr. Pierce, Mr. Bill Pierce's store. Then, of course, there was Woosley's, but was there too. And then Clarence Hines had a mill, and then the, I was trying to think. There on the corner on the right, as you're going in, it's a residence now, but that was a restaurant, Rick's. There was a Rick's restaurant right there on that corner. So there was quite a lot of stores. There was a secondhand store.
What brought in all that, all those businesses? Oh, are your windows down?
Yeah, I'm just.
Do you want to stop and go
through? Thinking about that. I'll just kind of keep an eye on it. It won't take me a moment to do that if it comes
whatever.
Up. Right. What brought in all those businesses? Well, see, Rosine, you know, people came from all surrounding areas to. This was town. This is like you used to go to town, but go to Beaver Dam or somewhere. Now you came to Rosine. People from outside drove their horses and wagons into town, and they would a lot of times they'd hitch them down in the schoolhouse yard under a tree, and then they'd do their shopping, you know, to go back home.
Well, I noticed local people, if I say area, I'm thinking in terms of like a 10-mile radius, mm-hmm. but they separate every little area.
Yeah.
So in those days then, people would come into
town.
See,
there wouldn't be any stores out the Fairview ever. There was no stores out there then. And then to Mount Pleasant, the stores that already closed so that you know, all come into Rosine.
Did the railroad play a factor in that also?
Oh, well, of course, in earlier days, the freight had already stopped. They were not putting off any freight. I guess they stopped doing that though in the 50s. See, the last passenger train was in 57. It was passenger service. We had to get it at Beaver Dam, but we still had four passenger trains. But they no longer were taking off the freight, and they, of course, when the passenger train ceased, you know, the mail. We used to get mail about four times a day. We did from the trains, and of course then you had a mail truck. And then the middle afternoon, here was the 1 o'clock or so, here was the Louisville papers coming, see. But the arm that caught the mail bag was from my front gate, the big raw arm. You may have seen pictures of it.
Yes,
where the,
I think
the
I
little
have.
Hook is out. And the mail bag's there.
Yes.
The passing mail car, they toss off the bag of mail, and this arm will grab that other mail bag. It was right in front of our house. And years ago, before the depot, this is 1938, there was a train jumped the track. It got off the track before it got down to the switch that was there then. Of course, when it hit that, it caused it to plow into the depot, and it just demolished it about 1938. But the platform ran all the way down towards our house. And it was high on one end of it, and it said, of course, it said, Rosine. I have a picture at home with Charlie Monroe and his wife, Betty, standing there on the end of that platform.
Hmm.
Jimmy Collard was the last person, I guess, to carry the mail from the depot up to the post offices.
Has the population shifted a lot under those, in those little towns, too, that's made less people there?
Yes. Younger people have gone. Like not happening there, it's happening all over. And you're having a community of older folks dying away.
And I've noticed that too, it's an older community.
Right, but it was not always that way.
I've often thought I'd like to go back for a few minutes.
We can sit and we think about who lives in that house and who used to be just kids everywhere. Never, you know, the school was going on. You lose the school, you lose everything.
What were the main social functions when you were there as a child?
Let's see. Well, of course, we're talking about school functions. They had school plays. They had plays at the church, Christmas programs, and they practiced for days on end, you know, to do that. And as you say, pie suppers, and they would have various types of fundraising things at the school. And of course, like Dunkin' for Apples, or have someone who told fortunes and by lamplight and all this stuff.
That would be
you
fun.
Know, and so I can remember this lady over by Hartford in Rosalie County. She dressed like a gypsy, and she'd tell fortunes. I guess she might have been one of the last persons to do that.
She was truly a fortune teller?
Oh, no.
Or she was just doing it for fun?
Yeah, she'd do that. Yeah, she really would. I'm very nostalgic, and I really hate to see what's happening, but the handwriting, I think, is on the wall already, and I see what's happening. When you look across the road and you see someone who's 78 years old, and next door they're 70s, my mother and dad both in 70s, what's the face of the community going to be? Who is going to step in? Who?
That's what I was going to ask you too. What's going to happen to this community?
Right. There are people, you know, they don't care. They aren't interested in preserving.
Yeah, I've noticed at the functions in the cemetery, there are middle-aged and older people in by and large.
Right.
But then I thought, well, maybe there are just not that many young people around. I haven't seen a lot of young people. And the ones I've seen, most of them haven't worked.
But they've always had, you know, we're talking about the dances and things. There's always a lot of music around Rosine.
That's what
there has been for years.
It seems to
be. See, wrote many, many years ago, Rosine had, they had a string band.
You did?
Oh, yeah. Years ago. I'm talking about long before my time.
Yes.
And always dances. There were always square dances. Somebody's house.
Was that
play
typical?
Parties, they called them.
Play too. Parties. Was that typical of this area, or was it specifically more in Rosine?
Well, I would like to say more so in Rosine, because, you know, there was a dance hall. The Twin Hills Dance Hall was there for many, many years.
Where
at
is
Rosine.
It located?
Well, you pass it every time you come to Rosine. There's a brick house sitting there now. It's about, let's see. Now, do you know where the Charlie Monroe house is, where you would turn across the railroad? Okay, after you pass the Charlie Monroe driveway, the second drive on your left.
All right.
There is two Twin Hills.
Yes, I know where that is.
In between those, there's a residence now. That is where the Twin Hills Dance Hall was.
Now, what kind of building was it?
Ooh, now of course I was never there, but I've seen some pictures.
Heard.
There are some pictures around, though. And of course you could hear tales about how it could get pretty rowdy, you know. And then, which ended, I'd say by the early 40s, by the beginning of World War II, an area at Rosine called Shady Nook, which sponsored and had a lot of picnics, social gatherings, political speakings. All of this went on, the dances, things like this.
Now, where did they
Shady happen? Nook was just as you're going out of Rosine. It was on the left. I don't know where you're familiar with. It's about where Della Taylor's house is now. There was a store that's closed. It's on the left. After you pass the Rosine signs, you're going toward Horse Branch.
Yes.
Okay, it's on the left. There was a lot of shade back in the left, pretty rolling hills and everything. And this was called Shady Nook. In fact, I've got an article I wrote about it a long time ago. I've been printed in the Times or somewhere, you know. But I have it there. I did it a long time ago for a girl in wanted to write something for one of her classes in high school, Ojai County High. I just kind of put it back, forgot about it, you know. I ran across it not long ago.
What was the name of this string band you talked about originally?
Just
the first one.
Just the Rosine one? String Band. In fact,
that was the name of it, the Rosine.
Yeah. And I don't know that I have a picture of that group, but I tried to find, see, in 1968, I wrote a series of articles, and I wrote The Story of Rosine, and information what I could glean. And of course, you take all those years off of me now, and I was very young, and had it to do over again, I would use, I had a little more expertise, I think, now. I would expand it on a lot more subjects and dealt in a lot more things. It was pretty much a title, and what I knew about it, that was what was put down. But at least it was put on paper.
Oh, sure. That's a valuable contribution.
1968, and there was three a series on that. I mean, several pages. And I could not find them. I've got them somewhere. They're at the house. They're put away. And, of course, I'm sure, in the library. But,
were they in the paper?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they were published in the Times.
Okay. I can get a copy of it somewhere on microfiche in the Times. What year?
1968.
Oh, almost everything I've read about Rosine's come from you. I went over to the vertical file at the library in Ojai County, and they allowed me to Xerox those things. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the Kentucky Library at Western, mm-hmm. and a few things there.
That I'd written.
And the cemetery things you'd written. Yeah. Shulstown you had written.
Yeah, a lot of them,
So when you were growing up then, let's talk about these musicians, if you don't mind. What do you know about some of these old-time musicians?
Well, now,
not
very little about old-time musicians. I could only, because you see, you understand, these people, one of them were gone by the time I was any size at all, you know?
Mm, that's true.
And so I had no knowledge of them. We're talking, you're talking about Uncle Penn, who died 1930, so. Cleve Bayes, I did remember, and I did see Cleve, but yes. And of course, I've been to his house, but to say that I remember hearing Cleve play, I can't. There's Ohio County Band. That was in 73, September. That's just one of the pictures. I didn't really call his name. He was a photographer, reporter for Courier Journal. I can't even think of his name. He came down there and stayed the whole weekend. In fact, we had him come to our house to have breakfast and everything for us and eat with us. And he must have made a sheet like this. And he said, let us know. It sent me the paper sent me the whole sheet, said pick out what you want, we'll furnish you. Anything you want.
Wasn't that nice?
And I did. I felt bad because I took about 25. But they said them all. But they did. They said send us that, but we're talking about musicians, and the old time.
Well, what do you remember about Cleve? I'm trying to make character sketches of people. Do you remember anything at all?
Well, Cleve Bayes. I'm trying to think of his. See, the daughter lives over at Rosine now. I'm trying to. Say Marie. I'm trying to think of some of his kids that are over there that they're living to now.
Oh.
Cleve Bayes. Let me think about that.
Okay.
When you don't think about things. And when you work, if you work on genealogy, you think about that whole time. You think, that's with you. But when you don't, you leave this stuff, you don't think about it, it all gets away from you.
That's true. Really. I understand that.
It's
I do that.
Very, very, you've got to stay with it. Of course, he would have been one of the old musicians. Of course, it would have been Cleve Bayes. Of course, long before that, Uncle Penn. And you had, I'm trying to remember the Crowders that played in the band. And see, I've got their names in that article, man. Their names are in there.
Well,
But two or three of them were Crowders.
Two or three of them.
Yeah. And if you get that, you know, I could find it for you. I mean, I have all these papers at home, but, I mean, you can get it, blah, but I hope you don't be too critical when you read some of it. Please understand, it was done by somebody that was very young and inexperienced, you know.
The one thing I've learned about writing, no matter how many times you write it, you can always rewrite it.
Right. And improve, do something. Yeah. Right. I've been sick sometimes with things. I always say, what did I write that for? What did I say that for? But it's done.
I understand
it's
that.
It's done, gone. My family on my father's side, they played music and they sang. My grandmother played a banjo. I have her banjo at home. It was given to her in 1905, and I had it put together. You know Sam Minear, who plays? Well, he's down at Livermore. He plays banjo. He plays with the Kentucky Bluegrass Band, but can't even know. He put it all back together and fixed it for me. My aunt across the road, she could play guitar. I have an uncle who's a minister. He's in Florida. He plays guitar. I have an uncle over to Beaver Dam. He can play guitar. My dad doesn't play a thing. But you know, he sings. He's directed the singing at the Methodist Church at Roseanne for years. And I play piano there. But I learned to play the auto harp simply because I was so intrigued and I liked the Carter family. Mother Maybelle and all of them. And that was my, that's what I bought one from Sears and Roebuck. And I was determined to play that. And I did.
Did you play by music? I mean, by ear?
By ear. I started piano lessons, but I quit taking piano lessons. I got tired of getting my knuckles cracked because I didn't. I got tired of playing Hickory Dickory Dock too. So,
do you play it by ear?
I can read. I can read the shape notes. What we call shape notes.
Yes.
Okay, I read those. I don't read the other lines and spaces. I don't. So I set out to learn the amount of songs that they would need at church the next Sunday. That's the ones I learned. Next time we add two or three more to that, you see. Soon you had a repertoire.
Well, now, Mary Beth told me that she was going to ask you to get us a Rosine bunch together for the river. Now, are you a part of that as far as a player, or are you?
I'm going to play Saturday night, too, but I'll probably just play some piano.
Oh, you mean at the Pie Supper?
No.
Oh, no, over here.
Here in town, yeah.
Which one?
When I was in school at Roseanne, I guess 7th, 8th grade, we formed a group there, a quartet. And if you, I don't know where you are familiar or not with the Chuck Wagon Gang,
yes.
A group of singers out of Fort Worth, Texas. We sang at Roseanne School. You know, that's where we started. WOMI started a satellite, our sister station, let's say, at Beaver Dam. They were on top of the Beaver Dam Bank building. They broadcast only in the evenings. We had a radio program on there, seemed like on a Wednesday evening for some time.
And that's
just
exciting.
We were kids.
I bet you had a blast.
Just kids. We sang. Of course, we'd read the requests and this and that. And this was every week. This had to be in the, probably 1950. 40 years ago.
Well, we won't date it.
And we did our first tape recordings then, you know. And then kind of got to, as you got into high school and you got away from this, somebody got married, you know. And then we were down to a trio. And then everybody fell away. And then I was left just me. And that was in the early days of television in Bowling Green. And so I began working over there, and I was still doing gospel. You'd raise eyebrows if I sang a love song. So I was kind of pegged as a gospel singer. You sang at funerals. You sang it. Because there was always, talking about singing, there was always singing schools being taught.
How did they
Well, you had someone to come into the church, whichever church, and they're going to teach the notes, the parts that everybody was going to sing. You always sung the notes before you sang the lyrics. So that's how people learned in early years how to sing the parts or how what a note was. Maybe this is in preparation for the choir to sing at a singing convention. Now, Ohio County's singing convention is, I'm sure, over 100 years old. It documentation can be made in the 90s years.
Now, is that where you sing still, do, do, ray, ray?
Right, that's when you were in the schools. That's how you learned that.
That's what
but
I'm
at
wanting.
The convention, you wouldn't. You know, you've already learned the convention songs that you're going to sing, the choir is going to do, you know. But you had people who taught singing schools.
All right. Now, when the people taught it, did they come in from other
they
places?
They came in. They usually, wherever that person was, he could have been somebody out of Horse Branch, or it could have been somebody out of Mount Pleasant, or
not necessarily from a big
right
city.
There. No.
Local people.
Local. Yeah.
Same
yes,
county.
They taught that. Sure.
See, I wasn't in that tradition here, mm-hmm. and although I've seen people make reference to the singing school, but I don't really know how it operates.
But Ohio County has, one of the oldest, I would say, singing conventions there is, held every fifth Sunday. And of course, it's like the marching band, the band festival. It's the oldest in Kentucky. It's Ohio County.
My goodness.
It's the oldest band festival. But as I say, after I got into doing singing, and I got to work in television and Bowling Green. But in 1958, one of the girls that sang in our group from school, she and I worked together as a trio, and we sang in virtually every church you could think of in Ohio and Grayson County and surrounding counties, you see. People would say to me even today, oh, I remember you were there. You know, that's fine that you can remember, because you're telling me, because I can't remember it. I don't remember it. It was really something specific that stood out in your mind. But we recorded what they call an EP album in 1958. An EP was just extended play. Four songs, two on each side. We were called the Harmony Heirs. Well, then in 1964, I think it was 64 or so, I did a single record and did it in Lafayette, Tennessee. And as a single. And then also, I don't know if it was on that same recording session or not, I did some backup singing for another group that was recording that night.
Are we still in gospel?
This was gospel. And then, during that period of time, I did some of the folk songs and things. Of course, back then in that area, there was the Hootenannies that were starting at the college campuses and very popular then. So I recall doing a 30-minute television show, just me, sitting on a stool with a single light above you with the auto harp. I did the first recording the Carter family ever did. I closed with the last one they ever recorded as a group. Then in the mid-60s on up into the 70s, I don't know, possibly 80, I have written the liner notes for five albums of performers you know, what we call the jacket covers on the back. I did that in 1975, 6, I don't recall just exactly. I was asked to do a song on a memorial album for Charlie Monroe, of which we cut in Nashville at Johnny Cash's studios.
Is that the one with a picture of Charlie on it?
No, it's a double album.
I don't think I've seen that. Henry has the only, he has a lot of different Monroe albums.
This is a double album.
Oh, okay.
It's on there.
I've seen that.
And I did the liner notes. Not liner notes, but I'm included there, but I did the liner notes on five albums now. The people up at Lewis, Big Jim Simpson, when they did their first album, I did theirs for them.
Well, you're musical all the way.
So I've done quite a bit of writing. Yeah. I've sung in London at an English pub.
How did that feel?
Well, I was invited. I already knew that I was going to when I came. I'll tell you how that came about. I don't recall his name, and he was kind of following behind Bill Monroe, and he was over here at a lot of the festivals and this and that, and they invited me, and I knew it was going to be in London. He wanted me to come sing at this pub. So, and the first subway I ever rode was in London. Got on the subway, and of course I got on the wrong one. I had to get off and find out which direction I wanted to get on, so I managed to get there. But I sang in the pub, and my brother was stationed in Germany, and he had a band, and they played all over military bases, and they were invited to perform at the embassy. They turned it down purely because of money, because they can make $1,500 a night somewhere, but this was prestige, you know, and you don't eat prestige. But I sang at a military base or two in Germany, and I'm at a American school over there doing songs about Kentucky.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yes.
What's the theme?
Yeah. Yes, Kentucky songs, right. Ballads and things, right. Yeah. So I've been involved in a lot of things over the years.
You've been involved in music your whole life, haven't
yes.
you?
Yeah. 1948. Easter Sunday, 1948, my sister Jean and I sang, I guess, for the first time in public at the Mount Pleasant Methodist Church for Easter. That's been a while. She didn't like me to mention those dates.
She didn't want to count the years.
Have count the years, but that's how long it's been. Right. And then I kind of taught myself, kind of play piano. I've played a lot of places. I've sung with some professional groups and brought some professional groups into Roseanne. So the first time that they'd ever been into Kentucky, I brought them here. A group called the Seago Brothers and Naomi, which became very close friends of mine. And I brought them into Kentucky, and any concert I was ever with them, they always wanted me to sing with them, and then I had the opportunity to go to Florida when they were going to Florida and sang with them and on stage with them. I sang here at the Sports Center with the Oak Ridge Boys, and I want to save all these posters and things. I can use those on the wall at the nursing home. I probably won't be able to read
the
them,
nursing
but
home.
I can remember when, you know. I remember that's the Oak Ridge Boys, and look what they are today.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Then bowling, I did 5 years of TV, and I ended up doing, producing and kind of directing my own. And I used other performers. Bowling Green reached out a long ways, and people in professional people, and they're passing through the area. You know, that's exposure.
No wonder you have such finesse with the crowd. Now I know why. I kept thinking, how did he get this
I've
finesse?
Emceed so many things and introduced people, and
you're very gracious,
so I
too.
Don't, it doesn't worry me anymore, you know. Carol Hubbard called me after he'd been to Roseanne. You know, I'd made a mistake about his re-election and everything. He called me the next day. He said, I don't want to apologize, man. I didn't want to upset you or hurt your feelings or anything. It didn't hurt me. It just kind of made a joke out of it. We laughed about it, you know.
Well, I got a good sketch of you. That's good.
Do you?
That's what I needed.
Well, I'm usually the one that has to, if there's entertainment involved or something, wherever, I'm usually the person they have to get or won't. It really doesn't bother me, and I kind of enjoy doing it.
Oh, you can tell you enjoy it. You get right in there and swing right with it.
But, yeah. We've had some good times at Roseanne. There's been a lot of unusual things at Roseanne to be such a, you know, wide place in the road with a lot of notoriety.
I know it. That's amazing.
You know, I read some article, and somewhere's at home I have it. You know, they were saying if we were going to pick what would be the bluegrass capital, would it be New York, Washington? No, wait, it wasn't New York. It was Washington, D.C., which is big on bluegrass. Washington, D.C., Nashville, Japan, or Roseanne. That was the four places.
Isn't that funny?
Right.
Oh, Roseanne.
Roseanne. We were in my parents and I, we were in Philadelphia. One time we were waiting to catch a plane on to Louisville, and we got talking to someone there, and they said, "Where are you going?" I said, "We're going to Kentucky." And they said, "Hey, you know where Roseanne is?" We said, "Well, we hope to get there. Eventually, we could get our flight out of here."
Do you think the Monroes put it on the map, or would it have been there anyway, in your opinion?
Well, it was on the map, but it didn't hurt anything for what they did. Certainly didn't.
Because there's so much music there.
There was a lot of music there. There is a lot of music. There were some talented people down through the years that's been there, very talented. Charlie Monroe and I were very good friends. So when Charlie kind of retired from the road in the middle 50s and came back to Roseanne and built a house down there, we visited. And, of course, I would go there. And I guess I could say that I really played my first show, if you want to say professional, with Charlie. I did Charlie at Bean Blossom. I worked with him there. In fact, I think we filled a date for Bill. That's what we did, because Bill was in California. So we played Bean Blossom with Charlie, and then thereafter I did several shows. I played a bluegrass festival with him over in Renfro Valley, along with Mac Wiseman and all the big names. So that was a thrill for me to sing with him on stage. Charlie Monroe was a legend, really, and for me to be able to do that, that's some fulfillment. And another thing, talking about the Carter family, you know, I got to meet not only Maybelle before she died, of course, you know, I knew her, but visited the Carter family home over in the Clinch Mountains in Virginia, and meeting Sarah. See, that was Sarah, Maybelle, and
yes,
MP.
Yes.
And Sarah, and we've had a lot of pictures at home that were made then, and also Sarah's kids, Joe, Jeanette, and Gladys, and we've kept in touch. And we've visited Gladys since then, you know. So I've got to go back over there again and to see them.
You seem like you travel a lot, or as often as possible.
Often as possible. They'd always say, "Well, how when I be back at work on vacation?" They, "Well, how long are you back this time? When are you going this time?" But you know, I like to travel. I think of places all the time I want to go what I want to do. I've been to a lot of the European countries, Germany and Austria and France and Switzerland and Belgium and Holland, Iceland, and, Newfoundland, and
you come a long
Canada.
Way from Mount Pleasant, walking to school,
yeah.
Haven't you?
Yeah, I've represented the hospital here in New York and Minneapolis, Kansas City, New Orleans, St. Louis, San Diego, Los Angeles, as a delegate to the conferences that should be held there. I was the first delegate. I'm not in the, I belong to the Association of Surgical Technologists, but there's not a local chapter. We're at large. At large, people were never allowed a vote or anything, but in
they did in St. Louis after a conference there. And I was the first at-large delegate, you know, and I addressed the conference there. So it's kind of nice.
Well, I think we'll turn off the tape recorder for today.
Be fine.
And we'll let me think about all these.